If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is May 21st, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I will be joined momentarily by my co-host, Alex Pawlowski. It's AEW Dynamite Night, May 21st, 2025. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. We had a big week here on YouTube.com/Fightful. Interviews with Prince Nana. Had an interview with Gabe Kidd, who will be a pretty important subject this evening, as well as Muhammad Hassan. Interviewed that gentleman as well. We have also seen myself jump on a number of streams with this fella right here by the name of Alex Pawlowski, who I am trying to guilt, bully, target into reviewing Freddie Got Fingered.
No, notice the one tactic that you chose not to mention just then was pay $1,000. And then you'd have what you wanted. You know what I mean? Like, bully, guilt, force, threaten, torture. Watching the movie is torture enough. Then I got to review it. No, I named my price. And you get to be the $1 million man. There you go.
Or $1,000 man.
I will only take 1,000 of your $1 million.
If I could get a bunch of sponsors, but that's the thing. It's a completely unsponsorable movie to begin with.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
But
you have no idea how much I do not want to do this. So I have set terms that I will honor, that I know you won't meet, and therefore I win.
And the shame of it is, like, obviously our reviewing styles are different.
Very.
But I think that you do the overly negative review in such a more eloquent way than anyone that I have ever seen.
I appreciate that.
And, like, you know, I'll give you an example. I watched Benchwarmers today. Horrible movie. Abysmal movie. Because I was like, okay, let me feel like if this movie that I remember being like the worst unfunny movie I've ever seen. And I was like, okay, no, I get it. Yeah, this would be an Alex-style review for me. But Freddie Got Fingered is so puzzling that I don't.
I know.
I don't know if it's the worst thing or one of the most genius things.
Interesting.
I got an Instagram reel today while we're on the subject of that kind of movie. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with Malibu's Most Wanted, the Jamie Kennedy.
I have heard tell of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Ridiculous movie. You'd hate it. But it was what you would assume a successful movie. Like, the thing was like, budget was like $18 million. They made like 35 at the box office. And then he revealed a thing that has always driven me nuts about movies, where they're like, oh, well, the marketing budget, it was what? And he's like, no, we made like $82 million all in on that movie with DVDs, rentals, all that. And they still claim that we're in the red because they apply our marketing budget as part of Harry Potter's marketing budget.
Yeah.
Like very, very weird the way that things like that happen. But guys, if you are in traffic looking for your chapstick, we hope that you are listening to us. Even if you're in a Ford Maverick, you can listen to us here on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Twitch, and podcast platforms everywhere. I don't tell you guys that enough, that we are on podcast platforms everywhere, but by God, we are. So make sure you guys check that out. Subscribe to us on all those. We have a full slate. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know what all shows are getting reviewed this weekend and at what point, at what time. I just know that there are a bunch of shows going on between AEW, NXT, Collision on Thursday, Saturday night's main event. So, Alex, what is your slate this weekend?
I am planning on reviewing Saturday night's main event. Kate will be there if she can be, but she won't watch it. She won't be able to watch it.
Okay.
So I will just lie to her and say that Logan Paul beat Jey Uso and all this kind of stuff about it. And that'll be a lot of fun if she can make it. I will review it. So I'll be reviewing that. And then we are going to review Battleground while probably watching Anarchy in the Arena, because I think that's how it's actually going to line up timing. Sure. And then we'll watch the rest of Double or Nothing and then review that behind the paywall.
Phenomenal.
So it'll be a double review of, if you like the sour graps, and I admit we are an acquired taste, but if you like the sour graps, you will get a lot of it this weekend.
Dedicated to the game, these two, just not dedicated to what I want them to review.
Dedicated to your game,
because I would trade all of those for one Freddy Got Fingered review.
I'm sure that you would.
I just want to say, guys, if you all want to put the pressure on Alex, I have said I will make this a rare non-paywalled movie review. It's happened one other time. The Abducted in Plain Sight documentary. And that's one that you got to see to believe. We're talking Freddy Got Fingered and Abducted in Plain Sight.
Wow.
Those are the ones, and I'd be willing to give Alex all the super chats and humper chats from that. Look at that. We deserve it. But if you're here right now, please drop a super chat, drop a humper chat that lets us know what you guys want to talk about. I did do a full Q&A show today, but if you're into the Q&A format and you really, really love it, FightfulSelect.com is where you want to be. We had news on the Roman Reigns Street Fighter thing. We revealed that he's being pitched to play Akuma. I did not expect that.
No, but I didn't know who else they would have gotten him for.
Yeah.
People on the SGS Discord were pitching Sagat, and I was like, ain't no way he's shaving his head and his beard for the movie.
No.
What you would have to do to play Sagat, honestly. So, yeah, I don't know.
If they wanted him to go the M. Bison route, I could have. If they wanted to make him, I get, but that's a heavy role. Heavy role. Balrog, maybe?
No. Like, I mean, I suppose you could do that. You could make Balrog into a Samoan boxer.
You could paint him green. He could be Blanca.
You could be Blanca. He'd be honestly, a good Blanca.
He'd frizz out his hair. He could probably be Blanca.
Instead of like the little roly thing, he could do a spear.
Yeah.
You could just imagine him in full green paint going, ooh, ah, and then doing the spear, right?
Did you ever see or did you ever play the Capcom wrestling game on Super Nintendo?
I'm sure I played it once, but I don't.
Saturday Night Slam Masters. It was phenomenal. Okay. It was really incredible. Okay. He looks more like the clear relative of Blanco, whose name was Rasta. But man, yeah. We had that news. We had Gabe Kidd news. We'll be talking about him. We had a free update today. In case you guys didn't know, we do have a free tier on Fightful Select. We had the early notes on Muhammad Hassan, who I interviewed this week, and a lot of UK news. But we have, how about this, guys? More contract news coming this week. And, of course, pay-per-view scoops thread, as always. But if you're here, send a super chat or humper chat. You can do that here at youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. It would mean an awful lot. Also in the news this week, Darby Allin finally reached the top of Mount Everest. He flew the AEW flag. Mm-hmm. I saw a comment that got aggregated. It said, imagine what psychos are going to try to climb Mount Everest just to pull that flag down, not realizing that it's not actually there. What? That scrawny little guy did it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
So many Roman Reigns avatars climbing Mount Everest.
Yes. And they're going to get up there. Oh, man. But Darby is not expected back in time for Double or Nothing, obviously. It takes doesn't take you nearly as long to get down the hill as it does.
Especially Darby. He's just going to ride down on a skateboard. You know what I mean?
He'll jump off of it.
Yeah. I mean, the very least, TK will send up a private luxury helicopter to pick him up halfway down. Zoop him on over to Phoenix, and he'll be the last secret guy to counteract Gabe Kidd in Anarchy in the Arena.
So I mean, anything is possible. But I mean, like, listen, getting a serious injury or dying is a legit concern when you climb Mount Everest.
If you're climbing, it's not like it's.
2 years ago was the deadliest year on record for Everest. Yeah,
they don't.
18 people died.
Two people died while he was climbing. Two other people died. So, like, it's not. They don't have an escalator up there. You actually have to do the climbing.
I feel like if they did, I would be much more inclined to do it. Like, literally inclined.
Yes.
To do it.
Inclined. Very good.
But man. Lots of questions this week, guys, about how are you going to watch the pay-per-view? What are you going to do? But Triller. Oh, my gosh. You can't get Triller in America. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You can overseas, and you can with NordVPN.com/Fightful. So if you're looking for a way to purchase this pay-per-view for a little bit less than what you usually do, I'm going to give you the quick pitch. One subscription in NordVPN for, I think it is 28 months, because it's the mega discount, the 2 year at plus 4 extra free months, is less than 1 month of cable. So if you just have cable and you watch wrestling, first off, you're going to get to watch all the WWE stuff on one Netflix subscription. They're chill about that. They don't mind. But maybe you want to watch shows a little bit earlier when they drop in the UK as opposed to here. But what you can do that's really going to help you out this weekend is get that pay-per-view at the price they're paying overseas, which, is much less. Now you might say, I don't know, Sean, it's a risk. No, not with NordVPN. 30-day money back guarantee. You might say, Sean, I don't know if it'll work on what I have. Well, do you have a smart TV? Do you have a phone? Do you have a computer? Do you have a router? Desktop, laptop, any of that? Works on all of it and all operating systems, all devices. You're good to go. But Sean, I don't know if I'll figure it out. How will I know? 24/7 tech support, by God. But I hate saving money, Sean. Well, I don't know. Maybe do you want to protect yourself on the public Wi-Fi? Do you want to do that? Do you want to keep me from hacking your devices and downloading Freddy Got Fingered to them, and of which you will feel obligated to review them? Check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. Add extra layers of security to your digital life. They got the password manager, the file encryption tool, the threat protection pro. It is the fastest VPN on the planet. It's wonderful. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Alex, as James Stalling says, is AEW ever going to stream pay-per-view live on Max? This is one of those things, like, I felt like they made it pretty clear. Like, it's not going to be imminent. They have to build the infrastructure. Right. Right. But maybe they should have been maybe a little bit more blatant. Like, guys, no time soon.
Yeah, not soon. Like, give us a 2028. You know what I mean? Like, give yourself some time. That way, if it happens early 2027, people are like, we got it a year earlier than they said.
When is the next Olympics? Like, that type of thing. Yeah, right there. That's how it is. But yeah. The real battle is, which are we getting first? GTA 6 or pay-per-views on Max?
Ooh. Well, I mean, if we trust Rockstar... But if we trust Rockstar, then May 2026. Let's see AEW balls in your court, Zaslav. Let's see if you can get that up there. Yeah.
But my line of thinking, my belief for this is that they'll probably offer it at the normal price minus whatever the cost of Max is.
Right.
But let's talk about this opening promo.
Let's do.
Damn. Now, I'll tell you the one clip you're going to see over and over again from the worst accounts on the internet, and it's Ospreay stumbling through his words a little bit. But, like, and as soon as he did it, I was like, ah, man, literally the worst accounts are going to post that. But, you know, I kind of hope they do, Alex, because that'll be telling on themselves. It will show you. It'll be painting a big neon sign.
Right.
Do not listen to me. Do not know ball.
Right.
And if there's one thing we are, it is ball knowers here at Fightful. We are familiar with balls.
Yeah.
And there was some balling going on in this opening promo, this Hangman Ospreay promo. Hangman says he's come to the realization now that he really should have let the swerve thing go. Like, he understands that now. And it is no longer like, man, I need to ruin this guy's life. It's like, I'm wasting some of the prime years of my life and not winning anything, not winning any championships. One of the most decorated guys, one of the best tag team wrestlers they've ever had, one of the best singles wrestlers they've ever had. And he hasn't been winning anything, hasn't been doing it at all because he's been so consumed with Swerve. And Ospreay, by the way, he says, I don't think you can beat Jon Moxley. I don't think you can get this championship back that means so much to me, means so much to AEW. And Ospreay sells this match in such a phenomenal way while putting Hangman over. He's like, I've been in the ring with him multiple times, and I've been in the ring with you. And what I know is that if I can beat you, if I can beat the guy that you were, then I know I can beat Jon Moxley. Whew! Also, this is main eventing AEW Double or Nothing. There's a phenomenal shot of them with their backs to the camera with the title belt in between. Mm-hmm. This is that stuff I like.
Yeah, this sells a pay-per-view. The Ospreay portion of this was absolutely excellent. I want to take nothing away from how great that was and how much it was needed, frankly, to make the Hangman portion what it was, which was, for me, one of the greatest single promos I've ever seen. The way that he conjured up the image of his young son opening presents on Christmas morning, but he can't sit and watch his son be happy with his toys because he's got to stand guard.
Yeah.
Looking out the window for a man he knows will never really come back, but he needs to be there because he wasn't there the first time he came there. So he has to be there to protect his family. If the tiny chance that he ever decides to do it again, I have to be there to protect my family. I have to stand guard for this. I'm worried my son will never respect me or love me the way he should. I know my wife doesn't look at me the same. I need this title for my family. I need it for me because I know that with that I might be able to become the man I was years ago. That is Greek tragedy level stuff. Like, that's so brilliant. And it's not like they're just throwing it out there for like melodrama. This is an obvious continuation of the story and where it has been going back to last summer and the promo he cut after beating Jay White in the Owen, like where like Swerve broke into my house. This was the house I was going to raise my family in. My wife didn't feel safe there. We had to leave our home. The place where I was going to raise a family is gone now. I have to get revenge on him. And then he did. And it wasn't enough. And this is a man who allowed himself to be consumed by hate so he could not give the love to his wife and child that they deserve. He has to get past this. He needs to. And the only thing he can think of that might be able to solve this problem for him is getting the title back. And the irony is, A, I don't think he's beating Will Ospreay. But B, if he got the title back, that wouldn't solve the problem. There's another thing. It's the same way he thought, if I just attempt to murder Swerve in a ring, then all the stuff that happened before won't matter anymore. The same thing, if I become champion now, then all of that hatred, that'll go away. But that's, he's got to look within himself and find something else he's not finding yet. This is the absolute full Pokemon evolved version of the anxious millennial cowboy. It's perfect. He's so friggin' great.
I also believe Will Ospreay is going to win this. I think that, especially based on some of the things that we saw tonight, Will Ospreay winning this in the main event of Double or Nothing against what I have always considered AEW's main character, to the point to where MJF has referred to Hangman as the main character.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it, and he's earned it. Mm-hmm. Will Ospreay goes on. Will Ospreay is the guy to relieve us of the Jon Moxley reign.
Right.
He's doing the media in the UK for Forbidden Door with that title belt over his shoulder. Yeah. And that gentleman, Gabe Kidd,
yeah,
faces him in the main event in London of Forbidden Door. Because I am so excited this is main eventing. While I would have loved for Anarchy in the Arena to main event, that way, even by proxy, Willow and Marina main event. I also do want the first women's main event to be a women's match as well.
I also want that too. It will also just be like, you know, I don't know, in a practical way, just for convenience, they're going to destroy the entire thing. They're going to destroy the entire ring and the ringside area. You're going to have to change out the canvas because it will be more blood than it will be canvas. It would be so much easier to just end the night with that match and then not have to worry about rebuilding everything to do the main event. So I respect that they said, no, we're actually going to put in the work to do that, because the main event of the show is one of the biggest matches we can possibly put on. It's Ospreay versus Hangman for the right to be the one to beat Jon Moxley at the biggest show we've ever done in America. That's the main event. That's the main event. And I'm glad that they're doing it as such.
Jane Beard says Alex has no need for Blue Chew. He's got this promo in this segment. He ain't alone. It was a phenomenal segment.
It was
phenomenal. And
right down to the sharing of the beer at the end.
Yeah.
Where Ospreay does it in this big, bombastic, performative way of like, I'm the greatest in the world, bruv. And then he chugs it and spits it out like he's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Hangman calmly tips it back, chugs all of it, and swallows. I'm real. This is who I am. You want to do a beer drinking contest with me, or you want to do a beer spitting contest? Because I this is who I am. And I honestly, I love both of them. I love both of them doing it. Great. Great.
I really like the production on this as they went up the ramp as well. And you had the face off. You had the I almost said the back shots. Listen. Felt like we just got some back shots after that promo. It was phenomenal. Fantastic stuff.
Phrasing.
Zach says, if Ospreay gets to be the aerial assassin because of his high-flying offense, then I move that Gunther become the Areola assassin because of his chest chopping offense.
That needs to be on a shirt. That's fantastic.
Oh, no. You know, a totally WWE thing to do is to sell a shirt that is a chest with a red mark
yeah,
on it.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good. Yeah. Patrick says, Double or Nothing 2026, likely for May 24th, 2 days before GTA 6.
Ooh.
That's how it will unfold. Oh, man. We had MJF signing a contract to join the Hurt Syndicate. A lot of attention given to a heckler in the audience during this segment. Like, an awful lot. Like, a whole lot. MJF has smart Mark Sterling with him, and this was largely a vehicle for a Sons of Texas promo.
Yep.
Is what it was. Like, after all that, it was largely a vehicle for a Sons of Texas promo.
Yeah.
And like, I really like Dustin Rhodes. I think he's one of my favorite, most consistent performers. I especially like Sammy Guevara in hardcore matches, tag team matches, trios matches. He really thrives there. I don't know if reminding people that they are day one AEW talent is the best move here, because it's like, where y'all been? What's been going on? What, and just the state of the tag team division in general, as Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, both this and ROH hurts things. Just fix that. Give the women more. You're on top of the world here. There are a lot of great tag teams in AEW. I actually think that Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara are one of those great tag teams. It's just, before the last few weeks, people that don't watch ROH probably wouldn't know that. If you didn't watch Dynamite,
right.
then no, you didn't really know that heavily. When doing these types of things, I wish they would put some more care into that. Because the culmination of what this month plus thing was, man, was effectively a Dustin Rhodes promo.
Yeah. If this was going to be the end of it, and I don't think it's the end of it, it's just, this is the end of the chapter. This part of whatever storyline this all is ends with MJF joining the Hurt Syndicate or not joining the Hurt Syndicate. And if he was just ultimately going to join the Hurt Syndicate and then get yelled at by Dustin Rhodes for 5 minutes, well, why did we do all the other segments? Why was the thing with the ladies of the night? And what was the thing with the car and Bobby Lashley doing the thing over and over again? Like, the first time MVP says MJF's going to join and all three guys go, yeah, fine. Just do that, and then we wouldn't have wasted all of this time.
Like, I don't mind that as much as them. Just as Tom LaValle says, it could have been an email. Like, I wanted more of. I don't even need dissension or anything like that. It's just, boy, he got in, and they're like, "Hey, so anyway, back to this tag team division."
Right, exactly. What I'm saying is, if this was the payoff, then why drag it out for so long? Like, I thought the payoff was going to be that they'd never mentioned the name of the person who it is, and MJF signs the contract without reading it, and out comes Cedric Alexander. Or literally anything but just this, because it was just MJF joins, but MJF's not on the card for Double or Nothing.
He's supposed to be in Phoenix. He will be in Phoenix.
I would be shocked if he wasn't part of whatever this match is.
Yeah.
But it's very possible that he attempts to help Hurt Syndicate win, but costs them the titles so that the Sons of Texas can be the AEW World Tag Team Champions going into All In. And then they turn on him.
You know, that actually makes a bit of sense. And what I would do is combine every set of titles that I could possibly combine.
I mean, yes.
I am in, like,
sure.
Like, call up SoFi and get as much consolidation as humanly possible. Yeah. James Selling says, Cedric, where are you? I mean, a lot of people are expecting that, but I haven't necessarily heard that that's happening. Like, I haven't necessarily heard there's anything set there.
Yeah.
And again, this was nothing against the Hurt Syndicate, nothing against MJF, nothing really against the Sons of Texas. It's the position that they have all been put in here.
Right.
And
yeah,
Sons of Texas never wrestle on Dynamite. They wrestled on Collision, I think last week.
Last week on Collision. Yep.
Because they beat the Crew. And that was for the contendership match here.
Yes.
Of course, everybody knows who these two are. Like, it's not like it's completely lost on anybody.
Sure.
I'm just like, hey, give them, let's remind them a little bit more. Let's do
there's,
that.
There's no reason why you couldn't just make ROH into, it's not a one-to-one analog, but you could make it into AEW's NXT, where you would say, these people are on ROH. This is where you can find them. They're putting the episodes on YouTube now, so they're not locked behind a paywall. So, like, this is where you can find these people. And then when they're done doing whatever they're doing down there, you can cycle them up to AEW and Collision and cycle some new people down. You can try out some people who you don't think are necessarily in line for a title reign on AEW, Dynamite, or Collision, but they could be in line. You could test out, see what they're like. You could do a Top Flight actually is the champs for a while, maybe, thing in ROH to see how that would work, and then bring them up and see how it would, you could do other things. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that's an option, but not necessarily the only option. I do know it's a better option than what they have been doing.
I really...
isn't it?
I don't know ROH's numbers. It's hard for me to believe that they get a lot of subscriptions. So I'm like, okay, you put it on YouTube. First off, whoever runs their YouTube, why you all have not turned on members only mode on your live chats, especially for those pre-shows.
Got to do that.
Charge $2 or $3 and turn that on for first off, because it's a nightmare. I don't know if it's like an algorithm thing or what, but sell some sponsors direct. Like, I know what we get for sponsors. Not a ton or anything. Very affordable rates if you guys are interested. But, like, sell some direct sponsors. Get the YouTube revenue. Turn on members only mode. All that stuff. And, like, probably going to make more money than you do behind the paywall. Unless this is, like, some incredible number that I don't know about.
Yeah.
Jan Beard says, but Alex, if ROH becomes NXT, does that mean we get ROH Europe?
Probably not.
Well,
I don't think they're doing so hot in ROH America currently. So,
good point. Jamie Beard says, honestly, for Forbidden Door, give me Omega versus Kid, Zack Sabre versus Okada, Ospreay versus either Hanger or Swerve in a rematch. I would be completely fine with those. I have just been on a personal agenda for Kid and Ospreay, but that much, you know what? I interviewed Gabe Kidd. It was the calmest interview you will ever see Gabe Kidd do. Yeah. I encourage you guys to check it out. I asked him if he was going to visit Super Nintendo World. He told me in no uncertain terms that he would not be visiting Super Nintendo World. I was disappointed by that, but he said, you'll know soon enough who I'm after. And he went after Omega tonight. So, and that's somebody that, listen, if you guys did not follow that feud, what a feud that was.
Yeah.
What a largely one-sided feud.
Yeah.
Rovan says it's a stretch, but Hangman gives me Last of Us Joel and Abby vibes, character-wise. Perhaps a little more redeemable than Joel. Like, does a little less terrible stuff.
But he's definitely... willing to look back and realize that what he did was wrong, even though he can't admit it to himself or anybody else. One of those things.
Yeah.
Which I think is good.
We have an Okada promo confirming the FightfulSelect.com report from last week that he will be facing Speedball. They are not involved in Anarchy in the Arena, but that report did say they could pop up later on. You know, what's to keep them from it? And Renee says, well, Okada, you know, Speedball's not been pinned since he's been here. Does that worry you?
Yeah.
He was like, there's a first time for everything. Trust me. And then he teases coming back and saying, bitch.
But yeah.
And he says, trust me, which I thought was a nice little swerve. Sure. I'm picking Okada to win this, but I am expecting this, if not to be the best Okada match in AEW, then top two or three.
Yeah, that match he had with Pac was excellent. Yes. But this could certainly measure up.
And Ospreay. The Ospreay one was really good.
Of course. I think this is great. I think Mike Bailey's done a lot of really good work here. But we got to be heading toward Okada versus Omega for the consolidating the titles at All In. If number one on the list we got to get to is Ospreay versus Moxley with Ospreay winning, then number two on the list we got to get at All In is Omega Okada on American soil, consolidating those two titles into one, because I think that would be really good for everybody involved.
If you would have told me when Okada signed, another FightfulSelect.com scoop that we broke last year, that 14, 15 months later, we'd be talking about him having two singles matches that you look back on and go, whoa, that was incredible. And it's the past.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Back, and it's the Ospreay matches. That's it from a singles perspective. He's had a lot of solid matches.
Yeah.
But not a lot of Okada matches. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is the place where Ospreay came and started to do that every week. But we have not seen anything like what he did with, you know, Shibata, Omega, Tanahashi, anything like that. Naito even, like, for years and years and years. These incredible matches. Like when he would get in there with Marufuji and just have an insane match. He'd get in there with Sonata and have an insane match. Mm-hmm. Shingo, insane match. You've had like two of those. This is, I expect this to be one of them.
Yeah.
I expect Speedball to wake him up.
I think Speedball wakes him up. And I think that he also then goes into, obviously, against Okada, against Omega, and has a brilliant match as well. They're utilizing him as more of an attraction. And everybody knows how great Okada is. And then you watch him and he can't have a bad match. He can't have anything less than a good match, but he very rarely you can tell, oh, he's putting in all the extra effort here. And maybe he's pacing himself. I don't know if he feels like maybe he's got some stuff he's dealing with, because, you know, he's been wrestling a long time. And they don't exactly go easy on you over in Japan. So, you know, he might be pacing himself.
Two slappers in 14 months. I don't buy the pacing. He ain't getting any younger. He ain't old as hell or anything. He's 37, but like, damn, man. Stokely cuts a promo, talks about FTR, says that they're two men that respect wrestling. I love this booking. I love the Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness team here. It is a great way to do. I honestly wouldn't hate if they were like a semi-regular tag team, but I wouldn't mind that either. But what'd you think about this? I mean, I continue to believe that Stokely has been a great addition to FTR.
This was fine. I like that. I think Stokely does a really good job with one of these things, and FTR is great. These heels, they're a really good act. I'm just over the moon that they did not make this into a six man, because a couple of weeks ago on Collision, it certainly looked like it to me, and I'm very happy. I always believe the worst that way. If that doesn't happen, you're happy. I think that FTR versus Nigel, I think Nigel and Daniel Garcia, that really interests me as a long-term alliance between these two guys, just because of what Nigel is to a certain generation of fans, and how great I think Daniel Garcia can be in this company. I think that that's a really cool thing to do as a mentorship mainly because I think there's a really cool story to be told about the animosity between Danielson and McGuinness, and Danielson wanted to be Daniel Garcia's mentor, but Daniel Garcia rejected him. And that's an interesting part of this overall story of the Garcia and McGuinness relationship. I don't think they have a prayer of beating FTR. You're building up FTR for something more than this, but I think the match is going to be excellent.
Very excited for that. Like, I really want to see what they can do, and see what Stokely can do as a manager of FTR while they wrestle a big match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ricochet defeated Anthony Bowens via stabbing him in the head with scissors. I like the one night build of this. I made scissoring in AEW what it was, and Ricochet's like, tough shit, it's mine now. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it. If they were going to beat Bowens, I'm glad they protected him a little bit. This is another guy who it's like they brought him back, and it was now what? And he faced Blake Christian and Lee Johnson on Collision, got a mm-hmm. couple wins, but largely absent from AEW TV since he had that incredible return, great reaction, squash over Max Caster. Have we seen him lately?
No, I don't think we saw him since that last squash. Was it Hologram who squashed him last?
How long has it been?
I mean, it's a few weeks.
Yeah. Few weeks. So, I mean, he's not around as much anymore as Rhino. Rhino. Yes, we did. We saw Rhino
squashed
on ROH TV. You're right. That was a good one. That was a smart one to do. But, you know, so Max has popped up about three times, but it's been in about 7 weeks. So not too bad. But Bowens has been largely absent. They paid, I'm sure, a lot of money for this theme song. He got a great showing. Crowd loved him. Mm-hmm. But got stabbed in the head, and Ricochet wins. First off, Ricochet is the most intriguing he has been since he was Prince Puma. And that is phenomenal. And if you're going to beat Bowens, I'm glad that they did it in a symbolic way like this.
Sure. Something about the Bowens thing isn't clicking for me.
Really?
So much of his presentation reads as arrogant heel rather than babyface to me. Mm-hmm. You and I know five tool players. You know what I mean? We understand the baseball lingo, but a lot of people don't. And so they feel like they have to explain it almost every time he says it in a backstage thing. And I feel maybe that's not the best thing. If you've got to translate it to people.
I mean, when you're built like he is and you look like Shamar Moore, you're going to come across as like an arrogant type of guy.
Could be it as well. But also the biggest thing for me is there's no need for Billy Gunn.
Yeah. I don't need him.
Don't need him out there. He can come out and give him a fist bump and then go backstage.
Yeah.
But I don't need him out there pounding on the apron, and it reminds me too much of him getting involved in Acclaimed matches, which we got really tired of watching. So just him being out there, the vibe is off.
And it becomes a little bit too much about him.
Yeah, it does. It really does. It feels like there was one time where I saw, I forget which match it was he came out for, but the camera did a close-up of Billy Gunn walking down to the ring. And I was like, how nostalgic are we for the Attitude Era of a different show? We can build Anthony Bowens on his own, because I think he's incredibly talented. And you're right, like, he's incredibly handsome. I love the moniker of the pride of professional wrestling. I love what that signifies. I think it's great. I want there to be something different about this presentation, because it just doesn't feel like it's fully clicked in. And I know it does to a lot of other people, but I know I'm not alone. And maybe it's just the Billy Gunn thing, but I don't know, man.
Well, Ricochet ends up winning this. Briscoe comes out with the stretcher. Ricochet is for sure winning this match.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what I hope that you guys win. Some money with Bet Online.
Bet Online AG. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from Bet Online. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline AG with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline AG. They're 25 plus years, their safe and secure environment, their high limits, their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, Bet Online. Check them out.
We will have betting tips this weekend for probably Saturday night's main event, as well as this weekend's Double or Nothing show as well. So we're going to go into the women's segments here before we talk about what closed the show and what led to it. But Jamie Hayter and Mercedes Moné with a face-to-face that I thought was really, really, really good.
Really solid.
Yeah, and they announce Mercedes versus Reyna for the TBS title as well. But Jamie mentions that she's the underdog. She's like, you know what? That's okay. She's like, my back's been a bit against the wall before, but yours has been too, because you look a little bit lighter because you lost the New Japan Strong title. And Mercedes decked her. Like, really cracked her in the face. But Jamie ends up standing tall and Tony comes out. Tony would also do this later on in the evening to angle for her match as well. But I thought these two did a great job building up their match. I expect Mercedes to win this and go on and have a major, major match with Mercedes, put some asses in seats match. But I thought they did a great job here.
Yeah. I thought they did a fantastic job with this too. I really like Jamie a lot. And I just don't think you get this close to doing the biggest possible women's match you could put on at the biggest U.S. show you've ever done and not pull the trigger on it. So I feel like you got to do Mercedes, because it's the greatest character in professional wrestling, Toni Storm, four-time women's world champion versus the longest reigning TBS champion ever, the belt collector up until recently. I guess she lost that one belt, but she's got a lot of other ones. And the former Sasha Banks, this history of what Mercedes Moné has been to women's wrestling over the past decade. Those two women against each other is the biggest possible women's match you could put on at the very biggest show you've ever done in the United States. And I feel like you don't come this close to it and then just say, nah, you probably pull the trigger on it. But I love Jamie, and I really want her to not fall down the card in some way after if she loses this match to Mercedes. I want this to light a fire under her, renew her her vigor, and have her maybe win a title in the fall or the winter. But I feel like right now, the match you gotta do, just because they came so they've all they gotta do is just book Mercedes to beat Jamie Hayter, and you got that match, which you have 7 weeks to build to with amazing promos and stuff like that. I feel like you just gotta pull the trigger on it.
Christopher asks about a story that EMAs at FightfulSelect.com reported that is clearly coming to fruition as we see the spider teases all over AWTV. It says, with all the Tekla spider teases, does she show up at Double or Nothing? The thing with Tekla is, if you have her pop up in that manner, she does not have a great deal of American television exposure. I don't know what kind of reaction she would get.
No,
in front of an audience like that. I don't know. I don't know like when they'll do it, how they'll introduce her. Right. I know that it's been in the works for a very long time, and she's been planning a move to the United States for quite some time. But I don't know if Double or Nothing is like the right spot for her, especially when you already have multiple title programs coexisting and doing that. I think her popping up somewhere else probably works best, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, they could maybe. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be a thing that we're not supposed to know is there unless we're really paying attention. But you could maybe mention the spider thing that's hanging from the AEW deal in the upper left corner. Maybe it's could be like instead of having people sitting at home high on their couch going, "Oh my God, there's a spider on my TV." Maybe you would explain what the significance of the spider is. And people would get excited for it, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, how do they ignore it within the context of the show at this stage?
Right. They've done it several times.
Yeah. Jambeard says Ricochet should get a heater in the future. Someone like Dijak would be perfect for it. I would love that. I think that he would be honestly a really good fit for AEW as well. But I know that for a lot of people, AEW was like, yeah, well, we don't necessarily want to bring them straight from WWE.
Right. Everybody in. Yeah, I get it.
It's been a year now.
Some dudes on the roster who've been doing really great work that I feel like would fit in really well. Like I've said publicly on this show, I believe Ricochet just slotting right into the Elite feels excellent. But if they're going to keep him separate, Gates of Agony with a slight repackage. Like Bishop Khan doing the clapping and the laughing thing, and Toa Leona just standing there in this immaculate suit, like ready to like take it off and truck some dude. Like I feel like those guys would be perfect as an act behind Ricochet. The Ricochet, ha ha, along with the Bishop Khan clapping and laughing thing. I mean, I don't know. That'd be kind of cool, but there's a lot of stuff they could do.
Mina Shirakawa then defeated Julia Hart. Tony Storm is on commentary, and she's phenomenal on commentary.
The act this time, though, was like trying so hard not to be impressed by Mina. It's like, I don't care. So good. She's so good at all this character work, man. It's amazing.
Tony Khan confirmed another FightfulSelect.com report that Mina was officially signed. I think she confirmed it a while back as well.
Yeah.
But the crowd really got into this. They hit this with "This is awesome" chants. This was like, this was the main event, but there was a segment afterwards. So like, listen, this is a victory in that way. Like if this were like, you know, 5 years ago, people would be like, hell yeah, brother. But like now it's just fairly common to see. Mm-hmm. So it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
This was good. Mina wins. She beat somebody established within AEW.
Yes.
In Julia, who doesn't necessarily have as much creatively going on. So she can eat that loss, and it's okay for her to eat that loss.
Yep.
I thought this was very effective. And then Sky and Julia reunited afterwards. Tony's leg gets attacked by Mina. And yeah, I, I thought this was a very effective segment and a good match to put on and something you got to do. Mina gets a big win.
Yeah, Mina's got to get the win going into the pay-per-view. Julia and Sky together just means it's a thing that I think everyone should lead. Every one of these press things, the little phone call before the pay-per-view, the scrum afterwards. The first question is, when women's tag belts? Just a thing, just to make sure it's not like a thing we've discussed, but okay, fine. Like, we got to do it because you have all these women who are doing amazing stuff, and I think there's so many extra stories we could be doing with that. But like, Julia,
I'm gonna ask Tony about it tomorrow if I get called on.
Julia and Sky together got me really excited until I realized there's really nothing for them to do. They could have fun like tag team matches, but with nothing really on the line but pride. You know what I mean? You could have them versus Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. That'd be fun. Or you could have them versus Anna Jay and Harley Cameron. That'd be cool. Or, hey, if Willow and Chris Statlander ever, like, mend fences and get on the same page again, you got Chris Statlander, Willow, they'd be amazing together. There's all of these women you could put together and make a really cool tag division. And they don't do it. So it's you know.
Tom says Toa Leona in a suit, but no shoes.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a phenomenal idea.
It's so good. Gotta get it done. That. Yeah.
I really love that. We've got Jambeard saying, Sean, where has Nyla Rose been? Haven't seen her on TV in like a year. I have not heard that she's injured. She wrestled in Vegas, I want to say Mania Week. She was on the Jericho Cruise. But she hasn't wrestled on AEW TV since like November. And sometimes that's just something they do. They cycle people off TV. I don't necessarily agree with it all the time, especially 6 months. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about a person who could benefit from a tag team as well. Like, you keep trying to find, you know, the perfect odd couple matchup for Harley Cameron. Nyla Rose and Harley Cameron would be a hilarious odd couple match.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Because, listen, they do a tag team division. Anna's going to say, sorry, Harley, but my bestie over here, Ty Conti, Ty Mello, who is saying that she's being told to get ready for something, by the way. Mm-hmm. Terry Allen Jr. says, walking to the ring, wrestlers touch hands at fans. Is there a time limit when they stop? Deep passion from the ladies and openings. Usually, like, there's a general, like, rehearsal cue that the wrestlers know of, but they aren't specifically told, hey, do that. But they are given a time for their entrance. So they can't just run around shaking babies, kissing hands, and slapping fives and all that stuff. They got to go through there and get the hell in the ring.
Okay, good to know.
Well, we got what has become just like an AEW specialty. They just throw a bunch of guys in the ring.
Yes.
And they say, hey, here, go have a slapper. Meet Norma says, the opening promo in the Chaotic Six-Man reminds me of when go-home shows were men.
Yeah.
He says that he's nording his meaty ass to Lithuania to get a better price on the pay-per-view.
There you go.
Oh my
God. That's an endorsement right there.
I love it. I love it, man. Meet Normus, you will be happy to know that this summer I am going to take time to learn how to smoke meats.
Ooh.
And not in the way that some of you perverts would like either.
No.
But listen, this has become a thing that AEW is just really, really good at. Now, you also run the risk of, are they doing it too much? But you're getting your big stars on the show before the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes a long way. Having a slapper goes a long way. Joe Hobbs and Swerve end up winning this. I thought this was fantastic. There's not a lot of analysis I can give here. There's no incredible psychology or anything in a six-person match. You kind of get exempt from that. But
yeah.
How'd you feel, Alex?
I really liked the way it was laid out with Hobbs taking most of the offense at the beginning and then getting out and not getting back in until he became the final hot tag. I thought that was really, really good. The three big spine busters in a read just slowly takes down the straps. And that I think was on Collision this past week, the one we had with Yuta, where he takes out the straps and there was this great moment where Nigel McGuinness says, "Hobbs, taking the meat out." And then there was this pause of about 7 seconds before Tony Schiavone said anything, when you could just feel him slow looking over at Nigel, like, what am I supposed to do with taking the meat out? I really love the way they've put together this anarchy in the arena. It feels like it makes sense to me, as far as like we've seen Swerve and Samoa Joe like have that moment of, hey, respect. Like, we're both after the same thing, but we respect each other after our battle. The ops hating the Death Riders, the Young Bucks always trying to worm their way into Moxley's good graces. Like, all of it feels Kenny Omega, like, hating the Young Bucks. Like, all of it feels like it all works together. The one thing that still has me scratching my head slightly, because if I just accept John Moxley says Gabe Kidd works for me now, okay, I guess, fine. You know what I mean? I love that Gabe Kidd's involved in it, but they could give me a better reason for
Let's get into that, because there's a lot to it, and we do have an additional super chat about the women's division we'll get to afterwards. A graphic airs, and Gabe Kidd is not on the graphic for Anarchy in the Arena.
No, he is.
And as of last week, there were a number of people on this that were not going to be in the match. Fightful Select reported what the working plan was. Mm-hmm. And it was also stated to us, now, hold on, that's not to prevent. Coy says odds Eddie Kingston's coming soon.
Okay.
Well, I'll break all that down. It's like a domino, but there's nothing from a rule perspective to say, Hook, you can't get involved. Shibata, you can't get involved.
Right.
You can do anything.
You could literally make an Anarchy in the Arena a one-on-one match, and everybody else is allowed to fight each other. That's what Anarchy in the Arena is, so yeah.
Jambeard says Eddie counters Gabe during the arena match that helps set up blood and guts of Team Mox versus Team AEW. Team Mox is D-Riders, Gabe and Okada versus Kenny, Swerve, Ospreay, Hanger, Eddie. Could help fuel Swerve, Hanger versus Bucks at All In. So I don't want anybody to aggregate this and say, well, Sean says he's not coming back. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that Eddie Kingston is or isn't coming back. I do not have that information. But here's what I will tell you guys. Eddie Kingston got messed up real bad last year, like a year ago. Broke his leg, tore his ACL, and his meniscus. Now, normally you're looking at a one-year thing. Eddie's, first off, a little bit older, not a conventional athlete, working very hard with Cesar Bononi to rehab himself, take care of himself. He has said that he had stomach issues that slowed him down. Could he be working? Possibly.
Could be.
But what he claimed last year, and I mean he claimed it, was that he had to let his leg heal before he could even have knee surgery. And he posted that picture like late June, early July. I hope that he just pops up and he's back and he's 100%.
Right.
That would be very impressive if he sincerely got knee surgery in early July and he was back late May. That would be very, very impressive, because the almost guaranteed rule of thumb is 12 months. Like, that's what you almost always expect for an ACL. I hope that's not the case. I hope there's some fudgery afoot. And clearly we're going to be looking into that on FightfulSelect.com this weekend.
Right.
But what do you think the possibility? I mean, Hook, again, is a person that I've been asking about, and I'm told, oh, he's doing better, etc.
To me, the reason that you put on the graphic no Gabe Kidd, knowing full well Gabe Kidd will just be hanging around and helping out the Death Riders in the match, is because the other team has a secret weapon that will come in and counteract Gabe Kidd. And forgive me for saying this, no disrespect intended. I don't feel like Hook can be the secret weapon. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't feel like it's a big time enough deal, especially because of the history that Eddie Kingston has with Gabe Kidd in particular. Like, that is a guy he would want to come in and F up.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of a thing, is if he is healthy enough to just come out on the stage and hit Gabe Kidd in the back with a barbed wire covered chair, the pop would be immense. You know what I mean? All he's got to do is just make sure that guy can't help them anymore. He doesn't have to take a bump, doesn't have to do anything. He just comes out and just cracks a dude over the back with a chair, and then he falls into some tables or whatever. And that's enough. Everybody will go crazy for him, and he doesn't have to come back again until he is fully healthy. But that could be a thing that they could do that would get an immense reaction from the crowd, would pay off a lot of that, and start something that might go down further down the line if Gabe Kidd's going to stick around and do more work with AEW.
So I did speak to Gabe Kidd yesterday for our interview. I requested him. AEW was like, hey, is there anybody specifically you want? Gabe Kidd. We promoted this match. Literally this match. But what happens later is a gigantic brawl. And I had said, well, this is puzzling. And then he popped up and I go, well, I'm a big effing Mark. So there we go.
Yeah.
But we end the show with the Young Bucks doing 450, or not a 450, I think a splash and elbow drop from the top rope through a table. Really, really highlighted the violence here. You had the Sum 41 song playing, which, you know, the You Wanted War thing, which does, listen.
Yeah,
gang wars was our thing for a long time on AEW.
Long time it was.
Now it makes sense.
Now it fully makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. And this is probably one of the most sensical types of matches like this that we have seen. The Death Riders have been running roughshod over this company for quite some time.
Yeah, this feels like something that we can get done. here to build other stories and get some stuff all up in line for All In. I think that there's a lot to prepare for. It's the biggest card you've ever run in the States. So, like, you got to do it. You got to make it as big as possible. You got 7 weeks to build it coming out of Anarchy in the UK and the Owen winners. I think that Anarchy in the UK, my God. Anarchy in the Arena. It's not a Sex Pistols album or whatever it is. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of stuff here. It's great.
Mike Owen says, ladies going to need more time per week if they have tag titles. Historical booking of the show makes me question if they'll use them well. Well, you also have two shows. You've got Collision, you've got Dynamite, and you can really highlight that. And when I mention tag titles, I'm mentioning Mina getting signed, Tekla getting signed. They've got a great roster of Joshi talent. They're trying to get Sheeta's visa, which we found out today. And Kenny Omega's cat sitting for her, which is good. Which I had noted a while back, she wasn't at the World's End show in Orlando. So a lot of people were like, that's interesting. But I say that, and to piggyback off the Tekla super chat earlier, like, I think she'll be a singles, but like, eventually when you get done with your singles run for a while, you go into a tag team, then you play off of your tag team partner. Hopefully you guys get reinvigorated, get over. You never know. The crowd was chanting Austin Theory on Monday. Mm-hmm. You never know what can get you over. So I think that I'm glad that the women have a lot of singles titles across AEW and ROH, but I would much rather have a tag team title.
They're running a program seemingly right now of Megan Bain and Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay and Harley Cameron. That's a thing that's happening. It's taking up time on Collision. I mean, if one of those two teams had the tag titles, then everything they're doing would be for with major stakes added to it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to add any extra TV time because AEW is very good about this usually of finding some non-title story to be going on somewhere in the background for the women. And I feel like if you added the titles to that, that would allow for stakes to be attached, which to me feels like it always enhances storylines. So I don't know.
Well, we don't have stakes attached at FightfulSelect.com, but we do have lots of scoops. Please subscribe. $5.99 a month. Mm-hmm. I will be largely in that Discord chat on Sunday talking about Double or Nothing. I'll tweet some media and stuff like that, but I'll largely be over there. And it's beyond scoops. It's beyond all that. Like, we have the most interactive shows, period, for especially if you're interested in scoops and finding out a lot of this stuff. Meet Normus says 4 years media agree with SRS, the women's tag belts float brands to maximize the visibility of the title and utilize more women. Stakes.
Listen, always love stakes.
We love stakes. We got to have stakes. And again, Fightful Select has a lot more than stakes. They have this gentleman right over here. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Alex Sour Graps on all the socials media. And you could also find me on Friday watching the last hour of SmackDown while talking about the first 2 hours of SmackDown. Then on Saturday, you can find me talking about Saturday night's main event. Whether I am talking to myself or talking to Kate is all dependent on her schedule. But if I am talking to Kate, she will not have watched the show. So I will lie to her about whatever's on the card. Then on Saturday on this channel in front of the paywall will be me and Kate reviewing NXT Battleground, and then after that we're going to watch the rest of, because you know the AEW is going to go longer than that, so then we're going to watch that, and then after that's over behind the paywall we're going to review Double or Nothing. It's, if you listen, I understand we are an acquired taste, however if you have acquired that taste, you can get so much of it this weekend over on Fightful Select.
Check out all the great content we have here on YouTube, but we are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We are on Facebook as well. I will keep pleading. If anybody has an actual human being to speak with at Facebook, please hit me up. Until next time, we're out.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.